This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the 35th CCT Review Plenary. Is there anyone that is on the phone but is not in the Adobe Connect? And is there anyone with a change to their statement of interest? All right, excellent. Let's dive right in. Laureen, why don't you begin with the Consumer Trust document?
Sure. Happy February, everybody. Can everyone hear me? Is this microphone placement clear? Yes?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Good. Okay. So I'm going to dive right into the recommendations, which for this paper are at the end. So I'm assuming everyone has independent scrolling, and I'm also assuming since I circulated this that people have had a chance to review as they wish. And I try to take people's comments into account in revising these recommendations. So we can start then with recommendation one, which is on page 15. Okay, and I see that I control the document. I don't mind if people have independent scrolling, however you want to do it, but I'm on page 15 now. And the first recommendation relates to conducting a study to identify which new GTLDs have been visited most, the reasons that users identify to explain why they visited new GTLDs more than others, what factors matter most, and how users' behavior indicates to what extent they trust the new GTLDs. And you'll see in the related findings that there's a recognition generally that the Nielsen studies only go so far, that we have this preliminary indication that there's a relationship between trust and other factors like familiarity, reputation, and security, but further information is needed to sort of unpack that and dive into why the public trusts, why and to what extent the public trusts new GTLDs. So the suggestion and recommendation here is that in addition to repeating surveys and survey questions that gather the subjective views about trustworthiness, that ICANN and relevant stakeholders' future review teams, I've tried to identify the folks who would be most involved in this process, should also try and assess what objective information can be gathered and measured related to trustworthiness, and that these sorts of studies could provide useful information for future GTL applicants as they decide whether and how to apply to new GTLDs. I've been mindful of not being too prescriptive, I have a question mark about whether that should be completed prior to subsequent rounds, because I'm also mindful of the timing concerns, so that's something I'd welcome views on. And that is the first recommendation. So why don't we break there, and I will ask people for feedback if they have comments or questions. And if not, we can see whether there's consensus on this recommendation. So I'm looking for hands, whether anyone wants to speak. If you're only on the phone, I'm looking for an indication. Jonathan, your hand is up.
Yeah, I put this in the chat, I guess, because that's where my musings often go. But I'm wondering if anybody on this call has a sense of what the probable timeline is for subsequent procedures. So there's the the subsequent procedures working group that are working. My understanding is that work will take quite a bit longer than ours, and I'm wondering if we even have like a rough notion of when subsequent rounds might begin, because if we did, we'd have more of a sense about whether we were making a decision that would be holding up the program versus making a decision to create a priority during the remaining time. And those are two very different things. So I guess I throw that question out to anyone that has a sense of what that timing is looking like, barring something unforeseen.
Thanks, Jonathan. That is certainly an excellent practical point that should inform how we prioritize, I think, all our recommendations, really. Brian, I see your hand is up. Maybe you will be a source of insight?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Okay, great.
Yes, we can hear you.
We do talk about this, and I do follow the sub-pro PDP is what the cool kids call it, and it's very difficult to say. I would say roughly into sort of end of 2018 is probably what we're looking at. I mean, I don't want to be quoted on that or anything, but that's probably where they're at. Into 2018, I would say, just to give it a sort of wide berth for being completed.
And Brian, just so I understand the process, when you say that the PDP will be completed, that's not when next round would begin. That's just when the PDP would finish its work. Am I understanding that?
Right. And they're still very much in the thick of things, so it's very hard to say, and we don't like to give solid completion time frames because it's completely up to them and the workload and that kind of thing. But right now we're looking into 2018, probably well into 2018, I would say.
And then...
Thanks,
and
Brian.
Then,
go ahead.
I still have one follow-up question for Brian or for everyone. Once the PDP is done, is there any guesstimate as to what then the time would be between their completion of their recommendations and any next round, or is that very dependent on what they come up with? It might certainly be.
It's very dependent on what they come up with. It will be, you know, a significant implementation based on the kinds of things they're talking about. What else can I say about it? I would just defer to what kind of Akram has said in previous interviews. Around 2020 is what we've been quoted as saying before, and we're still looking at that.
Again, nobody's looking for a promise as to when the next round or subsequent procedures might begin. But sort of a notion of a likely minimum, and if we're talking about 2020, then I think that that speaks to just how conservative we need to be about making recommendations that should happen prior to subsequent procedures, and maybe when Jordan gets on the call, we can have this question further, because I know in some of the data-oriented ones, he's inclined not to hold up the subsequent procedures for some of those requests. But, I mean, given that we're talking about a few years, it does seem as though none of them are likely to take longer than that, perhaps with the exception of the changes to the organizational contracts. So, anyways, I guess I would just like to put that out there as a contextualizer, that if something's manageable in a two-year time frame, for example, and we think that it will really help to have in place before subsequent rounds begin, then I don't think we should be afraid of it. Because all we're really doing then is just setting priorities for how to spend time, intervening time.
Thanks, Jonathan. Brian, is that an old hand up or is that a new hand?
Old hand line, sorry.
Okay. Well, and I see that Jordan is now on the phone. Maybe we should just orient Jordan a little bit, maybe on the phone. trying to actually make it call me. Okay, so I'm going to hold. I'm going to continue on then.
I'll put on this one.
Okay, I think someone needs to mute their line. Wado, maybe that's you. Maybe you need to mute your line. If I'm guessing correctly, I could be wrong. Okay. So I think if we are thinking about 2020 before next rounds, then I would suggest that this actually might be a very useful set of information to collect and publicize for potential applicants, in which case I would say it should be completed prior to next round. And I would change that question mark to a yes. Does anyone have any views contrary to the yes? And this, Jordan, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So I'm jumping in late to the conversation, but I guess my take would be that we oughtn't to presuppose a date by which the procedures are going to happen. I think that's somewhat self-reinforcing. If someone like throws out a date and everyone else sort of builds in assumption that that's going to be the date, then that's true. I don't think I've heard speculation from Akram, I guess, but I don't think to the extent that I asked this question in Hyderabad of the board of when they expected to, and Akram of when they expected to be looking at subsequent procedures. And in particular, the board had previously made a commitment to put together a project plan, which would actually be really helpful. Then we might all know what the dependency tree looked like. But in any case, they basically said the thing they're waiting to see is for the CCT to tell them, what needs to be done in order to get there. And so at least I don't think we should anchor on dates. I think it's totally reasonable for us to anchor on things that we think are really necessary prior to subsequent procedures. But I don't think we should just sort of say, like, oh, someone could do that in 2 years, therefore it's going to take 2 years anyway, therefore it's fine to make it blocking. I think the question of whether it's blocking or not should be whether or not we think that, I'll step back and I have a perspective here that, may not be adopted by the entire group, but I guess if we adopt the view that on balance that the expansion of GTLDs has been net positive, then the only things that ought to be blocking would be things that would somehow make a further expansion shift from net positive to net negative. Otherwise, we're just holding back the opportunity for more of a sort of net positive phenomenon to exist. And I don't think we want the perfect to be the enemy of the good and to allow things that would be very nice to have and would make the second, additional rounds better to block, there's all sorts of people, communities, businesses, that have ideas that they'd like to launch. Some of them may have done their own market research and may not need this information in order to proceed. Some of them, may look around and see that some TLDs did really well and some TLDs did badly and may want to get more information, and this information would be very helpful to them. So that's assuming that we think that on balance things have been net positive. If on balance we think things have been net negative, then I think we need to look at the factors that have made the situation net negative and make recommendations tailored to address that and say, look, we don't want to have additional TLDs because until these issues are addressed, because on balance, the expansion has been net negative. And so I think that's, like, at some point we need to step back and draw that high-level conclusion before we start thinking about, you know, expanding the set of things that are blockers, I think. And, you know, so where I focus, like, in the consumer choice recommendation, I did make that a blocking recommendation because I think we identified there a clear sort of deadweight cost, which is defensive registration, that I think it's worth looking at whether or not there's a way of reducing the costs in the place where they seem to be significant in this past round, and that would help substantially increase the balance between positive and negative, whereas here it just seems like we're saying, oh, we'd like more information might be helpful to people in the future, but it doesn't seem to address a clear situation where the cost-benefit analysis is sort of out of whack. That's my perspective on it.
Thanks. Thanks, Jordan. A couple of points, and then I also see that Jonathan's hand is up. I'm not sure you caught Brian's discussion with the observation that it is unlikely that the PDP working group will finish its work until well into 2018, perhaps the end of 2018. So I wouldn't propose including in any sort of statement we're anticipating things are going to not happen until 2020 for the next round, but that is posited as a realistic perspective. Here I would draw back from has the overall expansion been positive or negative and look at the more specific findings related to consumer trust, which is that the new GTLDs at this point, we are seeing from the findings that they're only trusted about half as much, and that in fact there's some affirmative discomfort about providing sensitive identifiable information to new GTLDs. So it strikes me, and maybe that's something that I should be adding to the rationale and the related findings, the differences between the levels of trust for new GTLDs versus legacy GTLDs. So it strikes me actually that this would be useful information, and although this part of the chapter isn't focused on applicants from other regions, we also know that the uptake of applicants from other regions, at least particularly in Latin America and possibly in other regions, wasn't nearly at the same levels as it was hoped. So it seems to me there is a rationale for doing this before future rounds, and it's something that the team should come to a consensus view on, and then perhaps there should be a minority view if you or other folks feel very strongly about it. But let me turn it over to Jonathan, who also has his hand up.
Thanks. I guess we're both piling on Jordan a little bit, so he may want to respond. And I guess my perspective is similar to yours, Jordan, in that I think that blocking is a high bar, and so the question then becomes one of prioritization for how time is spent, prior to subsequent rounds, as opposed to blocking. And I don't know how best to convey that, but we all know how ICANN works internally, and if things are not prioritized, then they often take a very, very long time to get done. And so I don't know if there's another way to express this that backs us off the notion of blocking, but gets us to an idea of prioritization for the time that we know that we do have to get some of these things done. I think there's some recognition that compliance wasn't quite ready for the new round. There's a real lack of information about the effectiveness of safeguards, et cetera, which is one of these seem like things that are worth knowing and that aren't necessarily net positive versus net negative, but that a lot of assumptions are based around these policies, and it makes sense to try and get them right prior to, you know, having subsequent procedures, especially if doing so does not meaningfully alter the timeline for those subsequent procedures. And so I concede that that's a high bar to affect that timeline dramatically. It feels like a lower bar to set some priorities for the time that we do have, and that we know that we have prior to subsequent procedures being put in place. So it's a kind of a prioritization exercise rather than a blocking exercise, and I don't know the best way to convey that.
Yeah, hey Jonathan, it's Jordan. I see Kylie's also in the queue, so I'll try to be brief. I like the formulation you just made. I think, in fact, I think it is the case when we first started our work that one of the things that we had hoped to do was provide a clear sense of prioritization of recommendations. And so maybe that's just something that's missing from the current recommendation template. Because I would totally agree that this may be something that would be very high priority for ICANN to do, assuming that they have time. But that might be different from saying, you know, if this isn't done and everything else is ready to go, we should not have additional TLDs because we're waiting for this, right? And those are, I think, two separate statements. And so, you know, maybe this is as simple as adding prioritization tab, and you know, I guess I'm fine calling this high priority. I think it would be helpful for us to look at the set of priorities that we have holistically and sort of see, have us do our own sort of stack rank and see where this fits. You know, that might help us just avoid making everything high priority, which I would be a little worried that we might end up doing. You know, just to step back and react to Laureen for one second, which is I agree that right now that, you know, we do see less trust of the new GTLDs. I think it's not obvious whether that's just an inherent characteristic of emergent new technologies and labels or whether, you know, there's something about the TLDs that were selected that led to that or whether, you know, if there would have been a better marketing campaign, we would see more trust, because I do think we see this really high correlation between the familiarity with the TLDs and whether people trust them or not. So, you know, I guess I could equally come to the conclusion that what we really should do is say ICANN needs to do a giant marketing campaign if they're going to do additional TLDs. I don't think I quite get there from that, but I don't think it necessarily follows. I don't think we have enough confidence to say, like, this is the step that's going to necessarily untangle that relationship between launching a new TLD and having consumer trust associated with it to say, like, we must do this prior to the launch. So I really, I'd like to sort of tag on to Jonathan's notion of identifying a prioritization metric so that ICANN does use the time that it has available as effectively and efficiently as possible.
Thanks, Jordan. And also I'll note in the chat that Jonathan has identified a possible rubric here of low, medium, high, and prerequisite, which actually, in my humble opinion, might be very useful for all our priorities instead of having a must be completed prior to subsequent rounds to adopt this line on priority. And then we could designate whether it's a prerequisite or not. So one approach here could be designating this study as a high priority, but not necessarily a prerequisite. Although folks may think it should be a prerequisite, but I'm just using that for illustrative purposes. And I know Kylie's hand was up, and I want to get back to him, although now it's not up any longer. But just a quick reaction, Jordan, I don't disagree with anything you're saying in terms of there could be other reasons for this lack of trustworthiness. It could be a marketing, it could be due to marketing. But I would say that's the very reason I think it should be studied, because the truth is we really don't know, and it would be useful to know, and applicants would presume find that information useful, and not every applicant may have the resources. In fact, we know they don't, because some folks didn't even go through the process because they didn't have resources, but not every applicant might have the resources to conduct market research to figure this out. So those are my quick observations. Kylie, your hand is no longer up, so I'm assuming that you don't want to speak, but I see you're saying in the chat agree to have a matrix. We have this now threshold question of adopting the matrix. Jonathan, do you think that that is something that we should be doing for the preliminary report? I don't think actually it would take much time for everyone to apply it to their recommendations, and I would endorse that, but I want to make sure, is that something you're suggesting? Perhaps. Well,
maybe I should just speak, sorry.
Yeah.
This is happening in real time, and I'm always loath to throw a monkey wrench into the works 11th hour here. But this seems to be a bit of an ongoing discussion, and because we had it with respect to the data collection recommendations as well, I'm of several minds on this, but I think that I want to see some, operational changes and reforms inside ICANN, and I think this is probably the best opportunity to get some things done. And so, given that subsequent procedures are something that the organization, the extent that an organization wants to do something, that's something that the organization wants to do. And so I think that it would probably be worth introducing that concept of prioritization, even if we had to completely, after the public comments, change what we wrote in that field. It might be worth at least surfacing that metric as part of the public comment process.
So you... So your suggestion then would not be to change our current recommendations, but to, as when we release this, say we welcome input on prioritizations. I just want to make sure I'm understanding you correctly, and I note that Jordan is actually advocating to switch now to have this notion of prioritization included in our preliminary report. But Jonathan, did I understand what you were suggesting correctly? I think you're on mute, Jonathan.
Sorry, please repeat the question. I had the phone ring right in the middle of this conversation.
Sure. What I'll note is that Jordan also endorses trying to incorporate this modification into our current recommendations as part of our preliminary report. Jamie is also agreeing with that. What I heard you say, though, was stepping back from that a little bit and saying we should introduce this concept in our call for public input rather than at this point revising our recommendations.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean talk about it. I agree with implementing it, because then prioritization will become part of the conversation. That's what I meant by that. I just meant that if we phrase it that way, we'll get comments that are helpful to that phrasing, whereas if we phrase it in a binary way, we'll get comments that are binary in nature and we'll have difficulty grappling with them. But if we do it this way, then we might get more granular comments back. So I'm agreeing with Jamie and Jordan.
Okay. And Jamie notes, and I agree, practically we would need a separate discussion to agree as a group on prioritization. And maybe that's a, maybe that's scheduling another, that maybe that's adding a phone call where we just talk about all the recommendations and go through this exercise. We could have the pen holders do it first, which I think would be the most efficient, and then have a plenary call where we just come to consensus on that.
I think that makes sense, and it's also something that's so simple that it shouldn't have a dramatic effect on beautification of the report as well.
The beautification. Okay, so if I were going to apply that rubric then to this recommendation, because I want to move through this so we have time for all the other papers on the call, then what I would suggest is making this a high priority, but not a prerequisite. That would be my inclination, but I'm happy to hear dissenting views. Any folks who want to weigh in? Okay, so I am then going to call and thank you, Fabro and Kylie and Jordan for weighing in there. I'm going to assume we have consensus on this recommendation, unless I'm hearing or seeing otherwise. I think people can agree or disagree in the Adobe chat if you're not able to make a verbal. Okay, so I'm seeing that then we have consensus here, and to clarify, and I'm going to include this in the revision, this is going to have a high priority but not be a prerequisite. And maybe we can keep note of that in the action item, just so we have a record in addition to my own scrawl about the how we prioritize the recommendations and whether they're a prerequisite or not on this call. I think that would be useful. Okay, I'm going to move on. Kylie, now I see your hand is up. Go ahead, Kylie.
Hello, hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, yeah. I think we also need to characterize what do we mean by the different priorities. For example, high. How fast do we mean by high? Because although we do not characterize it as a prerequisite, but do we prefer it to be done before the next round or not? So I think we need to explain about high, what do we mean by high, by medium, by low. And also, I think there was one suggestion that we take out one level. So just to make it maybe low, high, prerequisite or something like that. So, but anyway, I think that we need to clarify what do we mean by different priorities. Thank you.
Thank you, Kylie. That is a good point, which I would suggest we task Jonathan with in the category of no good deed or good idea goes unpunished. Maybe you can suggest some some brief definitions for these categories. Sigh. Yes, I've been sighing a lot myself, Jonathan. We can sigh together. But that, I do think that that's a good suggestion. Okay, I'm going to move on. I think we can have further discussions about how to handle the priorities, perhaps via email. But I don't want to get more behind on the call than we are already. So I'd like to move to the second recommendation, which is on page 18. The second recommendation has to do with data restrictions. ICANN should commission a study to collect data on the impact of restrictions on who can buy domains within certain new GTLDs, registration restrictions, to compare consumer trust levels between the new GTLDs with varying degrees of registration restrictions, determine whether there are correlations between DNS abuse and the presence or absence of these restrictions, and assess costs and benefits, and determine whether and how such registration restrictions are enforced. And the rationale here, along with the finding, and I see that I also should add that, along with the finding from the consumer trust and registrant studies that there's an expectation that there should be restrictions under certain circumstances and that registration restrictions relate to trust, that future PDPs and review teams can use this data to inform their policy decisions regarding new GTLDs, particularly regarding whether the restrictions should be encouraged or included within standard provisions of ICANN new GTLD contracts. If I were going to prioritize this, I would prioritize it in the medium category and not have it be a prerequisite to subsequent rounds. So thoughts, questions on this recommendation? I'm looking to see whether there are hands up. Kylie, I see your hands up, or I don't know if that's an old hand, but if it's up for new, go ahead.
It's a new hand, yeah.
Okay,
I do not fully understand here what we mean by incentives. Do we mean that if they say the registry, they want to do it, they do it, they don't want to do it, they do not do it, or we say create requirements for GTLD registries to blah blah blah. So I don't know what do we mean by incentives. I presume it'll be financial incentives, or what do we mean here? Thank you.
Thanks, Kylie. I was actually incorporating a discussion point from one of our prior plenary calls where actually there was an aversion to being too prescriptive, and there was a suggestion that speaking in terms of incentives might allow the flexibility for the stakeholders and the folks who are in working groups making policies to explore this issue. So it's deliberately not defined because we didn't want to hem in the notion of what incentives that the community or the PDP working groups might be coming up with. So that's sort of my short answer. I don't know that it's satisfying, but that was the thinking behind it, that this really is designed to allow for flexibility and creative multi-stakeholder thought on it. Jordan, I see your hand is up.
Yep. Thanks, Maureen. Yeah, I think I originally proposed the incentive language, so I was going to try to speak to that. And I think, you know, you could imagine the incentive coming in various ways. There could be a financial incentive. As long as we're in a round-based model, you could imagine the incentive is that ICANN would somehow, maybe even strictly so, applications that included a registration restriction over those that did not. I think the reason why, you know, I think both Jamie and I had suggested to not make this a requirement was because the current policy, at least, as adopted by the GNSO, sort of imagines that it's up to the registrant to, not the registrant, the registry operator to figure out their business model.
Right.
And so, you know, we could, I guess, in theory, propose a wholesale change of the core sort of policy principles of the GTLD expansion. I think that's within our remit, not necessarily to make it be so, but at least to encourage the community to go back and look at it. But that feels like a really high bar before, to me at least, before we make recommendations along those lines. So, you know, what I did want to get at is I do think, personally, and I think the data bears it out, that these restricted TLDs seem like they ought to be a part of the ecosystem. It seems like there's consumer demand for them. It seems like they would probably lead to higher trust. The examples that the small number of examples that exist seem to be well trusted. But I think the market forces as they stand right now tend to encourage very open TLDs as opposed to restricted TLDs. If you were going to launch a TLD and you had two options, one of them said, you should do a bunch of extra work, and at the end of doing to verify people, and at the end of that work, you get to have fewer registrants than if you didn't do that work and just let anyone register. The business model is essentially almost always going to work out such that you prefer the open model. So it would be helpful for ICANN to somehow have a mechanism in place to make it so there's either an incentive or a preference or something towards that restricted model, which doesn't exist today, without necessarily hemming in applicants to only work in that model if it's appropriate. You know, like something like .xyz obviously probably doesn't make sense to, you know, say like, oh, you can only get this if your business has a name with the last three letters of the alphabet or something like that. Some things are designed to be generic. You know, even in some of the cases, that we've talked about, there may be business models that imagine a more generic use of a term than some others may. And so I think we want to encourage that diversity, but really encourage the diversity by allowing the restricted models to flourish too, which doesn't seem to be the case today.
Thanks, Jordan. I think that's a very well-expressed view about the nature of the incentives and the realities of the marketplace. You and I can talk offline maybe about crisping this recommendation up, but I appreciate that perspective. Kylie, I'm not sure if that's an old hand or a new hand.
Hello, it's a new hand. I still do not quite understand this point. I'm not sure if I'm missing anything, something or not. But I thought that these A, B, and C, these should be quite obvious. Whenever a registry is registering a new GTLD, for example, the relation of the content of a GTLD to its name, or for example, who is allowed to register within this GTLD and who is not. Well, and also the safety and security. I thought these should be fundamental requirements for any applicants to get a new GTLD. So am I missing anything here or what? Thank you.
entirely certain. I'll just express what I put in chat, which is it is actually currently the case via the PICS, actually. But and it was also the case, I think, in question 18 in the application that applicants do have to express what their registration policy is. But I guess what I was trying to say is that right now there's a bias in the sort of economic structure such that the tendency, a very strong tendency, is for applicants to say that the registration policy is that anyone is allowed to register in the TLD for any reason. And so I think this is just trying to figure out whether we can create an incentive gradient such that it's a valid choice for people to say, well, not just valid, but a more likely choice that people will say that registration in this particular TLD is going to be actively restricted to a particular population.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, you still have Laureen. I'm still here. What I'm going to suggest then is coming to consensus on this recommendation. I would flag it as a medium priority. It could also be a high priority, but I don't think it should be a prerequisite to future rounds. Does anyone have any specific feedback on that before I call the question, so to speak, either in the chat or by voice? Okay, then I'm going to label it for the purposes of this recommendation as a medium priority, not a prerequisite, and I believe we have consensus on this recommendation. If we don't, please express it now. I'm not seeing any objections, so we have consensus. And if we can just note that's medium priority and not a prerequisite for recommendation two. And then we're going to move on to that was recommendation two. To the further review recommendations, here I've gotten, this is on page 17, here I've gotten more granular about possible future data collection. I've called for repeating selected parts of the global surveys, and these numbers relate to the questions that honed in specifically on familiarity, visitation, and perceived trustworthiness, that these parts of the surveys should be repeated. So that's a fairly simple recommendation. This I would put this as a high priority. But again, not a prerequisite to subsequent rounds. And I would put it as a high priority, one, because I think it's important to continue measuring what the current state of the market is, and two, because as we already have these surveys created, I think it would also be easy to implement. So questions, comments on that recommendation? Okay, I'm not hearing or seeing any, so I'm going to assume then we have consensus on this recommendation for repeating parts of the global surveys as a high priority, but not a prerequisite. The second further review recommendation, this also relates to the impact of restrictions on who can buy domains. So this would be a study to collect data on the impact of the restrictions on who can buy domains to compare trust levels. So this would be comparing trust levels between new gTLDs with varying degrees of registration restrictions, determining whether there are correlations between DNS abuse and the absence of registration restrictions. You know, this actually looks a lot like, I'm wondering if I repeated the prior one. Create incentives. No, it's different. And assess the costs and benefits of the... I'm wondering if I read the wrong recommendation before for recommendation two. And I'm wondering if I... If I skipped, okay, I see what I did. Okay, apologies for the confusion which I inadvertently created. The recommendation we came to consensus on in our last discussion, just right before the one on repeating the survey questions, was this recommendation two for more data. We already have consensus on this recommendation. What I need to do is go back to the recommendation 2 on page 16. Apologies for the confusions. That's what we should be discussing now. With my master scrolling rights, I scrolled too far. On page 16, the last recommendation for discussion. Let me note this for myself. 17. Okay. Is to create incentives to encourage gTLD registries to meet user expectations regarding the relationship of the content of a gTLD to its name, restrictions as to who can register a domain name in certain gTLDs based upon implied messages of trust conveyed by its name, particularly in sensitive or regulated industries, and the safety and security of users' personal and sensitive information, including health and financial information. So these are all areas that the Consumer Trust Survey had identified as either being related to trust or the public's expectations. So the public had expectations about the relationship of the content of the gTLD to its name. The public expected restrictions, registration restrictions, expected that they'd be enforced, and there was a correlation between registration restrictions and trust. And we also know from the Nielsen surveys and other studies that the public is very concerned about the security of their personal and sensitive information. So those were the findings that that this recommendation flows from. And this would be to the board and the PDP working group and future review teams. Here I have flagged it as something that should be a prerequisite because these incentives could be implemented as part of the application process. So this would be a high priority and a prerequisite. Those are the suggestions here. And Jamie, I see your hands up. But we can't hear you, Jamie.
Okay, I've been unmuted. The staff took away my speaking rights. I don't know why.
I'm sure there's no message there.
Moving on. So two things. One is I don't read the survey quite as conclusive as you do. I don't think there is quite the data to support some of the statements and conclusions that you made about what consumers expect. But more importantly, I don't see how the board could act on this. This could be a recommendation, as you said, would, you know, for the PDP. There's a lot of this strikes me more as policy. It's not implementation that the board can direct staff to do, and it would benefit from a lot of. I understand what I think what you're trying to get to, but having the board define, for example, what user restrict expectations may be for any particular GTLD in any particular region, and the meaning of the name, et cetera, and the types of, I think that the board is going to be, just throw it back to the working group. Thanks.
Thanks, Jamie. That's a fair point about what with the about how the board would act on this. So I would agree to just take that out. But Jordan, your hand is up too.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to agree with that. What your proposed approach was, which was to say, this does feel like it's a recommendation for the subsequent procedures, PDP, I think they can, and it seems reasonably actionable for them to consider it, and then they can, you know, through the policy process, they can decide whether there's something that can be done or whether it makes sense or not. But I think at least making sure, to take a step back once again in sort of Jordan's personal view of how we might actually get to additional GTLDs, I think that having the CCT in particular recommend a few areas that we think are critical to address through the policy process prior to the adoption of or to the expansion of new GTLDs may actually be really helpful to the process. Right now, my view, the subsequent procedures PDP is sort of a black hole that anything vaguely related to GTLDs is falling into. And if instead we could say, well, these are the things that you actually need to do before or take a look at before we get to do GTLDs may help at least prioritize their work. And they could make their own sort of calls like, oh, okay, these streams are the ones that we actually need to finish before there can be additional TLDs. And then there's this whole bunch of other things that can sort of proceed at their own pace. And since it is the advantage that a PDP has is that since the output of a consensus policy becomes binding upon all contracted parties, they can adopt things after the fact that still sort of trickle back into applicants even after they've submitted their application and launched. And so they have quite a bit more flexibility in how they can approach the problems as opposed to just thinking about the application intake problem. So I think it's very helpful for us to be able to point the PDP to the areas that we think are most important to resolve prior to the expansion of additional GTLDs.
Thanks, Jordan. Jamie, I see your hand is up, and I don't know if that's your original hand or you have another comment.
No, that's old, sorry.
Okay. So my thought process here in terms of prioritization, because I agree with both Jamie and Jordan that we should take out the board as a target here for the recommendation, is that part of this recommendation really goes to these sensitive or highly regulated domains which have the potential to cause more mischief because of the nature of the information they may deal with, and the findings in the survey and, again, in other studies that the public is worried about how their sensitive information is treated. And if anything's going to have a negative impact on the market for DTLDs in a more sensitive space, it's going to be the case that consumers not trusting these DTLDs means there's not going to be a market for them, which is why I've suggested it to be a prerequisite. But if it is a recommendation for the PDP and future CCT review teams, that could be something that after further exploration, they decide to reject that. But I still think from our perspective and the data that we have, this is something that should be explored. So it could be baked into the next round if there's consensus about that. So that would be my recommendation. I think we should decide as a team how we want to, whether we endorse this A and then how we prioritize it. So the recommendation that I have on the table for consensus is to have this as a high priority and a prerequisite for the reasons I've discussed in terms of the sensitivity of the issues and how it might relate to actually the trust and demand for DTLDs that fall within these more sensitive categories. So any other comments or questions? And then I'll call for people to express their disagreement or lack of consensus with this recommendation, so that if there is significant disagreement and lack of consensus, we can see that. Okay, so I'm not seeing disagree buttons. So this would be this recommendation, and maybe we can note the page. Thank you for noting the page numbers, since I created some confusion here. This recommendation 2 on page 16, we are going to delete the reference to the board, but we would make it a high priority and a prerequisite. Okay. Slight tweak to the language. So, Jordan, you and I will have a separate discussion and I can recirculate that. Okay, good. So I think we are through with this paper, and we can move on to the safeguards paper. Okay, and I want to make sure that this is the right version. Okay. I'm going to go through the recommendations on this paper, since I assume that folks have read it through. I tried to respond to my changes here, and I see that that this is a this isn't necessarily a red line, although there are some comments preserved. But I did make changes to respond to folks' comments, and so if there are still uh, if there are still issues that people want to discuss with me, my recommendation is, and my invitation is, call me, and we can have a discussion if anything is still perceived as problematic or more importantly, inaccurate. With that said, I'm going to move on to recommendation one, which is on page 3. Okay. And I'm going to note the page numbers because this paper does have a number of recommendations that relate to the specific safeguards, and I want to make sure I don't create any more confusion. So this is regarding who is data, and I think we went through this once, but it wasn't in the current formulation. So this recommendation. This recommendation, by way of background, stems from the findings, and I'm going to start with the findings before I get to the recommendations for context purposes, that who is related complaints are the largest category of complaints received by ICANN compliance for registrars. But it's not clear what aspect of who is accuracy forms the basis of the complaint. And we also have the added project that ICANN has spearheaded, the ICANN accuracy reporting system that analyzes certain aspects of who is accuracy, syntax, is it in the right form, operability, does it work, i.e. does the address work, does the email work, does the phone number work. But there was a phase 3 to that accuracy reporting system project that was identity validation. Is the contacted individual responsible for the domain? So out of these two data points, one, we have this large category of complaints, but we're not sure exactly what these complaints are about in terms of the accuracy of the who is what aspect. And two, we have the system that is actually measuring accuracy in terms of syntax and operability, but is not moving on at this point to identity validation. That's what forms the basis of this recommendation, which is one, ICANN should gather data to assess whether there's a significant number of who is complaints that relate to accuracy of identity, since there's right now there's no system in place to measure that. And this data should include accuracy complaints received by ICANN compliance, but also identify other potential sources of who is complaints. And I've named some potential sources, but this is not a prescriptive. This is identify other potential sources and attempt to obtain anonymized data from these sources. And all of this is an attempt to have further transparency about what are the who is accuracy problems that form the basis of the complaints. What's the biggest problem, for example? And if there is a significant percentage of complaints related to identity, then that could form the basis of proceeding with the identity phase of the accuracy reporting system project. So that is the recommendation here that relates to who is. And Jamie, you have your hand up, followed by Jordan. So I'll turn over the mic to you, Jamie.
Thank you, Lorene. So first of all, am I correct that the first one also relates to something that Jonathan was separately working on, one of his recommendations, because I know we had a previous discussion about the work that the IT-related work that compliance would have to do in order to gather this information. This information exists. My understanding, though, is it's not just in text, And so it's not easily isolated and quantified. And so some work would have to be done, as I mentioned before. So I'm glad that this is not a prerequisite, but it is something that would have to get scoped out and would be, you know, completed over time. I don't see any obstacles to ICANN compliance doing this. It's just that it'll take time, and so I guess I go back to my original question, which was, Jonathan, is this related to another recommendation that you were doing that you and I were going to talk about?
Jamie, thanks for the question. Part of what I did that fused things, unfortunately, was in that data section, kind of rolled up some of these more granular recommendations to try and make them more readable and generalizable, kind of. And so they're all interrelated. So after a discussion with Aliza, I'm going to try to replace most of the recommendations in the data section with references to recommendations in the text, and only the sort of structural one that at the recommendation one, if you will, of the data would remain as its own recommendation for that section, I think. But yes, I think we do need to probably have a conversation about this stuff, because it's been 8 years and the IT systems of compliance haven't really been markedly improved, and so we just need to find some balance here and dig into compliance a little bit. So we're really excited to have you as part of the team so that we can set some realistic goals about that, because otherwise too much time passes. And I mean, despite all the early warnings, I mean, I don't think compliance really was ready for this round.
Can you explain what you mean by?
You need to look seriously at some prioritization there. That's all.
Yeah. No. So we're happy to sit down. Compliance is moving from Kayako onto Salesforce. But it would be, and maybe we can talk about this offline. But I'd be grateful for your perspective on how you think compliance is not prepared for this round. I mean, is it in handling the number of complaints that have come in? Is it producing data like this that you would like to see? Is it, you know,
I don't want to tie down this conversation because it's part CCT and part, CSG, I guess, a little bit so we'll be talking more in 2 weeks about this, but I'm happy to sit down with you individually. I think that we need to do some things, not because they're easy, but because they're hard, some cases. And I think compliance is the most important department at ICANN. And so I think we've got to make it more of a priority than it's historically been.
Well, let me say for the record, I think compliance is the most important department of ICANN too. It's just a matter of sitting down and talking, and we're happy to do that with you, with anyone from the team, you know, before this goes out for public comment, after it goes out for public comment,
and the truth is we're going to get feedback and pushback on where we place on these recommendations and substance, the timing we set for them, et cetera. I mean, this is a conversation starter on those issues associated with prioritization and prerequisites. The fact that we surface that metric that way means that we'll hear from the community on where they think we've made the right call or not, and we don't have to regard this as the end of the world in this particular report.
Oh, no, not at all. And I'm not at all resistant, to this. I'm all in favor of greater transparency with compliance data. It's just a matter of sitting down and figuring out, looking at realistically how long it will take to get the systems in place and the data reported appropriately. And again, that's not resistance. It's just there's a lot of IT projects that we compete with. So
we might have a role in helping to prioritize this one, Jamie. So
absolutely.
We're on the same team. We'll be your best ally in your internal competition for attention from IT. I don't want to tie up the conversation today, but I think you're right that we should talk specifics, so I'm not pushing back on that.
Okay. So Lorraine, just quickly on the second one, I wonder again if, you know, given the controversial nature of this phase, the verification phase of ARS, given costs and effort and all the rest, if the ICANN board again can be in a position to direct that it take place, and rather than having the board direct that it actually be implemented, you know, perhaps the board could facilitate a community-wide discussion on the identity phase, because there's some critical issues that are that haven't gotten enough airing related to that, including costs, regional differences, methods of actually doing verification, and associated costs, et cetera. So privacy. I just, put it out there whether this isn't something that, that the board not do directly, but the board, facilitate discussion among the community. It could even, take place within the WHOIS, review team, the next one that's coming up. Thanks.
Thanks, Jamie. Just procedurally, just so I understand, it was my understanding that the board had initially directed the WHOIS accuracy reporting system in the first instance and had identified identity as a potential phase three, which is why I had directed this to the ICANN board, because I understood procedurally they had already spearheaded this project, and this was already a potential phase of the project. Am I misunderstanding that?
So I don't think there's that amount of clarity. I think the phase three, I could be wrong about this, but I think phase three came out of either the WHOIS review team report and or GAC advice. It did not, I don't believe that the board said, directed staff to do phases one, two, and three. And in some community discussion about this, there was a fair amount of a pushback, particularly from the contracted parties, about this because of primarily because of the associated costs. We can recommend that the board direct that it happen. I think that the reality is, though, there will be significant opposition to the board's doing that, and that it would certainly benefit from more community discussion and consensus rather than just a board edict if this is actually going to be implemented.
So, Jamie, would, in your view, would the better place for this to be directed would be applicable PDP working groups and ICANN staff? I'm just trying to figure out procedurally where you think this would be best directed to allow for further community weigh-in.
Sure. So there's probably a number of options, but the board could be directed to convene a community discussion on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
The board could recommend that as part of the next Who Is Review team review, that the next Who Is review, that they consider the feasibility and desirability of going through with phase three. And there are probably you could direct it to the subsequent procedures PDP, but I think they may find it more peripheral to what they're mm-hmm. they're actually doing. I guess finally you could direct it to be discussed within the next gen RDS. I don't know exactly where it would fit, but it's obviously related.
Mm-hmm. That's helpful. Thanks, Jamie. Jordan, you have your hand up.
Yeah, so I am having a hard time relating this recommendation to the new GTLD program in particular. And it seems like we should probably do a little work to make that link more clear. So I guess I would suggest a sort of twofold set of changes. The first is, I think the data gathering is still, I think, tenable under the new GTLD sort of umbrella. But I think what we should do there is say that ICANN should gather the data and also try to assess whether there's a difference in the results across new GTLDs versus legacy GTLDs. And that way we're at least able to sort of say,
mm-hmm.
we'd like to see if the behavior has changed. Or whether we're just looking at a general set of problems that applies across all TLDs. Because I think that changes the tone of whether this is really something related to new GTLDs in particular, is just like, oh, COM has this problem too, in which case I don't think it's really in our bailiwick. And so to that point, I think I struggle with the second recommendation entirely, because that just seems to me, my intuition is that this set of Who Is accuracy problems are not particularly unique to new GTLDs. And, absent that finding and that data, it just feels like we're stepping into the quagmire that is Who Is discussion at ICANN, which, having chaired a Who Is task force for 5 years without, with some minor substantive results, but certainly not the substantive outcome I would have hoped for from that time of work, and sort of having seen the community continue to spin its wheels on it for the last, decade or so, that, I'm reluctant to have us sort of out of, without a really sound basis tying it back to the new GTLDs in particular, sort of push for this sort of, as Jamie says, a recommendation that's likely to have significant pushback from the community. So I would prefer to constrain this to the data gathering recommendation and to try to create that stronger tie back to the new GTLD program. Because I think until we have a data finding that relates some specific Who Is problem to the new GTLDs, we probably ought not to be suggesting sort of like relatively heavyweight approaches to address it, such as the identity phase of ARS.
Thanks, Jordan. The way I viewed this as relating to the new GTLD program was because of the safeguards baked into the 2013 registrar agreement that relates to Who Is verification, which were different than the requirements in prior registrar agreements. So that's a specific relation to the new GTLD program, which is why this was even addressed in this paper in the first place. I do take your point regarding this comparison between accuracy levels under the for new GTLDs and legacy GTLDs, and I think that would be a good data request, and I'm happy to add that. I think as to your bigger point, are there differences? You know, right now we don't know, so it would be important to gather that data. But we do know that it is one of the largest complaint categories for registrars, and it is the safeguard that is applicable to all new GTLDs. So I think it is fair for us and within our mandate to deal with this. I'm happy to hear other views as well. It seems to me to fall within our mandate. I don't know if, and I see Jamie and George's hands are still up. I don't know if those are new hands or old hands.
So, Lorraine, certainly, and just to react briefly to what you just said, I think it's true there are new safeguards in the 2013 RRA. I think the link there to the new GTLD program is a little tenuous. I mean, it is true that you need to sign the 2013 RRA in order to sell new GTLDs, but that was almost a incentive to adopt the 2013 RRA as opposed to saying that these safeguards are intended to apply to the new GTLDs. And in fact, the accuracy requirements apply to all GTLDs. And so it is true that I can use the incentive of the new GTLD program to get to encourage registrars to adopt these accuracy requirements, but the accuracy requirements are germane to all GTLDs and not just to the new GTLDs. So, you know, once again, I think it would be helpful to see whether there's accuracy distinctions between the new and legacy GTLDs. I just get more troubled when we go from not understanding whether or not there's actually a distinction with the new GTLDs to starting to make substantive recommendations about, you know, like Jamie said, I think it will be both controversial and it's a ton of work to move on to that identity phase. And, you know, it seems like if the data was there and existed, there are several other tracks of work. The next WHOIS review and the next gen RDDS that would be capable of consuming that data and deciding what to do with it. It seems like a stretch given what we have here to say that we should be encouraging a sort of more generalized review or more generalized step in the ARS project when we don't even have a clear tie to difference in behavior in the GTLDs.
Thanks, Jordan. Other thoughts and views on this? Okay. Well, we have a difference of views here. So I think the issue is then whether we can come to consensus on this recommendation, and if there is going to be a minority view on it. So what I would propose is to take away the reference to the board here and to retweak it along the lines of Jamie's recommendations to call for more community discussions and consider other review teams that might grapple with this, which I think may speak to some of your concerns here, Jordan, because it would allow for community weigh-in on this topic before any further action happens. And also,
yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say maybe a formulation that would make sense would be to me at least, would be to change one, a relatively minor change to one, which is just to say that this breakdown should be done on a per GTLD basis or across legacy and new GTLDs in order to determine whether there's a difference, and then say, you know, we anticipate that this data should be used by the community, for example, via the next-gen RDDS or the Who Is Review to determine whether or not, you know, additional steps need to be made to address Who Is accuracy and in particular, whether or not the identity phase of the ARS project should proceed or something like that, right? Like just to say, like, okay, we're getting this data, we're giving it to you, and we want that discussion to happen in the future, but we're not being prescriptive about sort of when or where it happens.
So essentially to soften the language of the second subpart here, rather than have it a should to sort of an to make that a little less prescriptive.
I'm happy to provide some.
That would be helpful. That would be helpful. That would be helpful for reformulating. But I would like to get to consensus on a general recommendation of gathering data on the specific aspects of Who Is accuracy, both collecting that data regarding new GTLDs versus legacy GTLDs. I think that's a good suggestion. Tweaking it along the lines of Jamie's suggestion to call for some community discussion and some other related review teams to grapple with this issue with an eye specifically towards assessing whether it makes sense to proceed or whether the data calls for proceeding with the identity phase of the ARS project. Is that a fair formulation of sort of the collective group's think on this, at least those who have spoken up? And I'll ask for an affirmation from you, Jordan, since you've been the most vocal. I think that sounds reasonable. Yes, sounds like a balanced statement. Fine. So in light of those anticipated tweaks, which I will work on with Jordan, do we have consensus on this recommendation? And I would put this as a medium priority, but not a prerequisite. Okay, so I'm not seeing any objections. I'm not hearing any objections. So I will view this as having consensus on that, and I will work with Jordan and Jamie to tweak this along the lines of what we've just discussed. Okay. Moving on. The next recommendation deals with the safeguards relating to mitigating abusive activities. And I want to try and make this bigger. Good. Okay. So this recommendation is on page 5. I'm going to start with the rationale and findings. And here it is the issue is in order to better measure the new GTLD's ability to mitigate abusive activity, data related to abuse rates in new GTLD should be gathered and analyzed on a regular basis. Data should be reviewed by the ICANN organization and made available to future review teams. And we're noting here that our review team has commissioned a study on the topic to serve as a baseline. So in a sense, this recommendation is incorporating the effort that we've already begun, which is to figure out the rates of abuse in new GTLDs versus legacy GTLDs, so we can begin to drill down and figure out how effective these safeguards are. So that is the recommendation. We are in response to Margie's comment here. We are already engaged in this, and I see it as an ongoing effort. So in that regard, it's something that's going to continue. It's not necessarily, because it's ongoing, it's not a prerequisite, but it is a high priority. Questions and comments on this recommendation regarding data gathering for rates of abuse between new GTLDs and legacy GTLDs? Jordan, is that a new hand?
It is, yeah. So I'm okay with this. I don't really have a problem with the gist of this recommendation. I guess I'm just trying to understand. If I was the ICANN organization and I read this, I guess it wouldn't be clear to me what to do differently. Is this just saying keep doing what you're doing because that's good, or are we actually trying to propose a change in behavior?
Well, thanks, Jordan. That's a fair question. And maybe we should make this more precise. And right now we have this DNS abuse study that we've commissioned. So I see this recommendation as saying repeat this study at regular designated intervals. And maybe Drew and I should collaborate about, and Brian should collaborate on what would be reasonable amounts of time to continuing to gather this data. Or formulate just what makes sense in terms of continuing to gather it. So what I'm hearing you ask for is more precision. Yes?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think that would be a better recommendation because it would be clearer what we meant.
Okay. So I will collaborate with Drew and Brian to be more specific about the timing here, how often this should happen. Okay. Assuming, and again, because it's ongoing, this would be high, but not a bar, not a prerequisite. Assuming those tweaks, and if we can make that an action item also to collaborate with Brian and Drew to make this more specific, that would be helpful just to include as action items. Okay, assuming those tweaks, then do we have consensus on this recommendation? Are there any objections to this recommendation? Okay, Jordan's okay with this. Drew was going to work with me. Other people are okay. Okay, so I am then presuming consensus on this, since I'm seeing all these okays, and more importantly, I'm not seeing objections. Okay. Good. Moving on, we're now switching to the topic of security checks. This was a mandatory public interest commitment that required registry operators to conduct a technical analysis to assess whether domains in their TLD were being used to perpetuate threats like farming, phishing, malware, and then also a maintaining information on those threats to be made available to ICANN on request, and the intention here was to enhance efforts to fight DNS abuse. And here I've noted ICANN compliance results, which indicated that registry operators were conducting these security threats. And the other note here is that community discussions are ongoing about how to develop a framework not only to monitor for security threats, but for registry operators to respond to security threats. So this is something that's still in play in the community. So the rationale and related finding before we get to the recommendation itself is that we don't know whether the intended goal of enhancing efforts to fight DNS abuse has been met. And there is this community discussion to figure out a framework for registry operators to respond to security threats. Therefore, the recommendation here is to have community stakeholders and future review teams look at whatever the framework turns out to be and make an assessment. Is it clear? Is it effective? And that's the recommendation. It's a fairly straightforward recommendation. Questions and comments on the recommendation regarding the safeguard on security threats? Jordan.
Hey, Lauren. Yeah, so this recommendation feels particularly mushy to me, mostly just because we don't know what the framework looks like, I guess.
Right.
So we're starting to say,
yeah,
like, let's
that's
see if the framework.
Yeah.
Right, so let's see if the framework actually works. I wonder if it's just like a recommendation to the next CCT review to like actually take a look at the framework or something like that. Because I'm just not 100% sure like who we're expecting to do the review or, you know, what the mechanism is. But once again, I just feel like this needs to be tightened up somehow to be a little bit more actionable. Because right now it just feels like someone in the community should somehow look at this, right? And so I think if we could somehow figure out who we were directing it to and what action we expected them, expected from them, it might be a little bit more helpful.
So would it be helpful then to specifically specify that the next CCT review team should take a look at this?
Yeah, I mean, for me at least, I think that would be a that makes sense to me, right? Like we know this is an important issue. It's not really in a position that we can review it now. So let's just make sure that someone takes a look at it next time. That would make sense to me at least.
And are there any other thoughts about who would be best positioned to take a look at this, either in addition or in a shorter time frame to take a look at this? Well, I'm happy to tweak this to designate the future CCP review team to take a look at this. And I imagine whether we recommend it or not, there's going to be reaction to the framework once it's announced. So at least this would still constitute a placeholder for the next CCP review team. So I'm happy to have that as a tweak. This wouldn't be a bar. And I think because of the – I would make this a medium priority just because we don't know what the timing is going to be. Any other thoughts or comments on this? Otherwise, I'm going to move to calling for consensus on this. Jordan, is that a new hand or is that your original hand? Okay. Okay, so I'm presuming consensus on this as modified by Jordan. This would be a medium priority, not a bar. I'm seeing no objections to this. So we have consensus, and we'll move on to the next. Okay. The next safeguard and recommendation relates to making and handling complaints. These were the topics of several provisions in the new GTLD contracts. These were directed to registry operators, taking reasonable steps to investigate and respond to reports from law enforcement and quasi-governmental agencies. And also there's a requirement to publish, for registry operators to publish abuse contact details on their website. This safeguard, like a lot of the others, were aimed at enabling more focused mitigation of DNS abuse. The original GAC advice proposing this safeguard had not restricted the duty for registry operators to investigate and respond to complaints to just complaints from government agencies, thereby subsuming the public at large who might complain. But that's not how this was implemented in the contracts. And that remained something that the GAC expressed concerns about in its advice. ICANN Contract Compliance also notes that this is a common contractual compliance issue in terms of contact information or not responding to complaints. So here are the real questions that form the basis of the recommendation are questions about the scope of registry operators' response to this safeguard, i.e., how do they respond to complaints from the government or law enforcement, and the extent of any responsibilities to respond to complaints from the public. So that's sort of the rationale. The safeguard has been implemented. But it's unclear whether folks know this exists. And indeed, we have information from the Nielsen survey that shows the public isn't quite sure where to complain to when they see DNS abuse. The other rationale here is we can't tell how frequently these channels are used by the public and law enforcement to notify registries of illegal or abusive behavior. And we also can't tell what impact the safeguards have had on their intended goal of mitigating DNS abuse. So the recommendation here is to assess whether the mechanisms to report and handle complaints has led to more focused efforts to combat abuse. And these are sort of first steps. So one, determine the volume of reports from the registries. What's the volume of complaints they're receiving from the government and the public? Get a sense of what actions they take to respond. And here, again, responding to some prior feedback. This could include surveys or focus groups or community discussions. And two, assess whether, based on those discussions, assess whether there needs to be more of an effort to publicize where complaints that involve abuse or illegal behavior within a TLD should be directed. So that is that's the recommendation. Questions or and it's this is directed to the ICAM board, but it may be that this should be directed to a different entity procedurally speaking, and there I would welcome guidance. So Fabro, and a special welcome back to Fabro, who we've missed. Welcome back, Fabro. You have the floor.
Thank you very much, and first of all, sorry for being away in the previous months and weeks, but I'm back. And just to make clear that I follow the discussions you had before, and I agree in a consensus way of what has been said. In this recommendation, I would like to make a suggestion to add something. If new GTLD registered operators are obliged to post abuse contact details, I think it makes sense in the recommendation to also ask for ICANN either to publish a list of those registry that publish their contact details, or at least to keep track of those who are doing or not. I'm saying this because when doing the research, knowing the list of who published was something that we researched on, and might be a quick way, and I'm not sure if it's simple or not, to know who has published the details or not. So this would be my recommendation to add to this line.
So, Fabro, I just want to make sure I understand your request. So what you would be suggesting is to ask Fabro, ask ICANN to basically publish a list, and I'll say not of those who are publishing their contact information, but it sounds like you're more concerned with making clear the any transgressors, so to speak, any folks who are not complying with this contract requirement, that that be publicized in some way. Am I
correct.
Understanding it correctly?
Yes.
Okay. I'd be interested in thoughts on that from the rest of the team, but I also want to go to Jordan's comments.
Yeah, hi, Maureen. Hopefully most of the comments are taken as a constructive suggestion. This one, I guess my trouble here is this suggestion feels a little bit like I don't understand why this wasn't our job, I guess. And to a certain extent, like, there's just a finite number of things that we were able to do. But it does feel like we're roughly trying to say, like, hey, see if this safeguard actually worked, which, you know, to a certain extent is the charter of the CCT itself, and we're basically just sort of pushing this off to some indeterminate third party again. So I guess I'm struggling for who we think would actually do this, and, you know, sort of why we think they might be more successful than we were. And once again, if it's just time, maybe we just flag, it's just an issue we're trying to flag for future CCT review. So I guess that's, you know, I wonder what you have in mind in terms of how else this might be implemented.
Thanks, Jordan. In an ideal world, we would have been able to have this information. But it's, again, this goes back to the way, ICANN compliance discloses its numbers of complaints. We don't have that visibility. We didn't have that visibility. And although compliance has been responsive when we've asked for specific, requests, it became apparent when we asked about first request for information that our requests were generating a lot of time and effort from the compliance team because their systems aren't set up to gather data in this way. So it wasn't going to be feasible for our review team to get this information because, A, it's not gathered in the way, you know, in a safeguard-specific way or even necessarily a contract provision way. And there wasn't going to be the resources available to gather this during our time period. So I think this relates to the general request that we're putting in our previously named data analysis section that we need more resources to go to compliance in order to provide more visibility as to the subject matter of complaints. So I agree with you that, you know, this is our job, but we weren't able to do that with the way the information is gathered now. So this would be a recommendation to make sure that this information is gathered specifically, and maybe the real high-level recommendation that we're still, I think, working on in the data analysis is make sure that the systems are restructured to allow for the gathering of this information.
Yeah,
I don't know if that helps. I don't know if that helps answer your question.
No, right. So it seems like there's really two recommendations here, and maybe they belong in different places, or maybe we bundle them up here, something like that. But one is there is a recommendation related to data gathering, right, which is no one's going to be able to assess this until, you know, this particular data is available, and we can clarify that either here or in the data request. And I see Jamie in the chat is saying, can we put those all in one place?
So right, right.
The data request the right place. So we can just make a reference here, I think, as we've talked about before, saying like, oh, there's going to be additional data. Please look in the data analysis section or something like that. But then secondly, I think then we also just want to flag this as for like the next CCT review, it seems like, and say, once the data is gathered, you know, in order to assess this issue, that the next CCT review should examine it. That feels to me like a little bit more like we're sort of structuring the recommendation in a way that feels actionable both in the short term and then in the longer term.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing you say is it would be more productive to first reference our general recommendation that we need to have a better system to identify the subject matter of complaints. Once we do, we need to make sure and gather this specific sort of data. That would be a task appropriate for the next CCT review team. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, and I'm happy to reformulate this request along those lines. Fabro, I still see your hand up. Is that the same hand, or do you have another comment or a response? Old hand. Okay. So then I think that sort of formulation we can still come to consensus on then. This would be we can decide how we want to prioritize the general data recommendation. We can flag this as medium and not a prerequisite. Okay, I am mindful of the time, because it is 11:04 and our call was supposed to end already. So I think we're going to have to postpone the discussions of the rest of the recommendations on this paper to our next phone call. I'm also wondering,
Lorene, it's Jonathan. I was waiting for a break in the discussion here. I think we probably need to extend tomorrow's call to a two-hour call. And I just want to give everybody a heads up. I mean, people may have conflicts or whatever, but I think we need to go ahead and do that for everybody that can be on for that time, because we need to push through these things. So just kind of a reminder to pen holders to try and use the new to address your recommendations with the new matrix and plan on a two-hour call tomorrow morning as well. All right, any questions? Is everybody able to hear me? Dan? You might be on mute, Dan. We're not hearing you, though. Oh, Dan's not available tomorrow. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank about what to do about that. Let's take this offline, Dan, and try to figure out who's best to represent the recommendations in your paper. That's the only answer I can think of right now. So let's take this conversation offline. Okay, everyone. We'll be doing some emailing around here and revisions and things like that, but kind of to our meeting tomorrow, and we'll adjourn for today. Thanks, Lorene, for your yeoman's efforts on today's call.